listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Up this week, we've got Spencer back with us from God Save the Points to help me answer a complicated listener question. Lots of parts there, and we want to make sure we help folks plan those dream vacations, which is exactly what we're going to do this week for one of our listeners. After that, we've got Jen with us talking about the IHG credit card and how you can maximize a sign-up bonus that ends today, and then also how you can use the card in the future to help with travel. I think this is a really good one for folks who don't travel for a living, if you will, like I do, and are looking for great ways to leverage the points that they can earn other ways. If you're enjoying the show, I hope you'll do us a favor and tell a friend. We love having new listeners to the show. And love it if you would subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you're listening, such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all those great places. If you have any questions that we can help answer, you can email me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all Pizza in Motion. With all that, let's bring Spencer on to talk through that listener question. So we've got Spencer back on with us this week because I've got a listener question that's got a bunch of stuff in it, and there's a bunch of stuff here that I think Spencer can help us answer, make sure this listener gets the best advice they can. Spencer, as you guys know if you've listened in the past, writes for God Save the Points and has a pretty cool award alert service that you should be subscribed to. Hey, Spencer, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ed, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. We want to make sure that Jeanette, our listener, gets all the best advice that we can. And there's certainly some parts in here that I think you're more versed on than me. So I'm just going to summarize the question for folks so they know what we're trying to answer. Jeanette and her boyfriend have been using their points to book economy award flights, but now they're looking to really maximize the value of their points, and they want to try and book two premium cabin tickets. It's sort of a bucket list item for them. They're thinking about going to Japan in 2020. They've got a bunch of Ultimate Rewards points from some of their Chase Sapphire cards. Also says that she has some Marriott points and some United points. So we got a little bit of a variety of currencies here, and her initial strategy was to book on ANA. But she might be a little limited in that. We're going to get into that here in a little bit. So our goal is to try and get her to Japan in the spring of 2020. And one clarifying point that was in there was she wasn't sure if you could transfer her Ultimate Rewards points to United and then ultimately over to ANA, which she cannot do. So in this instance, she can transfer her Ultimate Rewards points to any of those partners, like United, for example, and then use those for flights that are on partners. So she could, in theory, book an ANA flight using her Ultimate Rewards points, but she'll be booking it on the United Awards. I was just about to say United Award chart when Spencer would have stopped me and said, well, no, not in 2020, because they'll no longer have award charts then.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not my favorite news to get this month.
No, not my favorite news to get either. And so we could have predicted what this would have cost using the United Award chart, but as of November of this year, the chart doesn't apply any longer. So this will be a variable priced award if she goes the United route. Thankfully, though, Spencer has some other ideas for her that involve some Ultimate Rewards transfer partners, including maybe one that most folks wouldn't think of, because I didn't initially think of it either, Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify real quick on the United bits, so far, the dynamic pricing is only going to impact flights on United. So we'll hope for the best, and maybe it won't mess with the pricing on partners quite yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. It's hard to know with no chart. But yeah, Virgin Atlantic, it's one of my favorite programs, and it's, I think, often overlooked because it's, it's not part of one of the major airline alliances. But I think in this case, it's going to be Jeanette's best bet to use her miles judiciously. Since she's, I think she's out on the West Coast, did you say?
Yeah, LAX is her closest home airport, yeah.
Yeah, so she won't be able to move, her Ultimate Rewards points to ANA, but she can move them to Virgin Atlantic, which can book a round-trip business class ticket for 90,000 miles, which would be 90,000 Ultimate Rewards points that she needs to transfer, and that's per person. And I think that's going to be her best bet for business class. If she wants to up it to first class, you can sometimes find two seats, and it's 110,000 Virgin Atlantic miles per person, and there's not a better deal out there for that.
Yeah, and just to put this in perspective for people that are comparing award charts, especially when we get into flexible currencies, I think this is where you know, not all points are created equal, if you will, because as Spencer says, it's 90,000 Ultimate Rewards points ultimately getting transferred to Virgin, whereas if we were using the United Award chart that exists today, that same flight would cost 140,000 United mileage plus miles, which, since it's a one-to-one transfer from Ultimate Rewards, means you'd burn up 140,000 Ultimate Rewards points per traveler versus the 90,000 if you could find the availability through Virgin.
Yeah. And that's just to fly on United. If you booked ANA, the same ANA flight, it would be 160,000 United miles. So it's an even bigger difference when you think of the direct one-to-one comparison on the booking both or having both book ANA.
It is. And, you know, it's very uncommon to see anything other than a one-to-one ratio on the Ultimate Rewards chart. We actually happened to have just covered last week on the podcast that there is a Chase Ultimate Rewards to British Airways 30% bonus right now, but it's not something you're typically going to see. So when you think of those Ultimate Rewards points, you're thinking of them mostly on a one-to-one basis, which, as Spencer says, in this case, you know, Virgin definitely floats to the top if you can find the availability. If she can't find that availability on Virgin, where else would you think she should look?
I mean, her next best bet is going to be United, I think. It's 160,000, as I said, to fly in a partner. Asiana, based out of South Korea, is a quick connection to Tokyo, so she could fly from LAX to Seoul to Tokyo. And round trip, again, it'd be 160,000. It's nowhere near as good as being able to use 90,000, but it's not a bad way to book. So that's, I think, when you have Ultimate Rewards points, that's really kind of your second best bet.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I would still encourage her to look at the United pricing for the dates that she's looking at, because there is still a chance that on United Metal LA Tokyo, she could, or you know, San Francisco Tokyo also is a possibility, that she could find the sort of rates that could get her down at the 140 level or 70,000 each leg, or a combination of United over and partners back.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an option, to potentially save herself a little bit. Again, you know, certainly more of a sting than what it would cost to use Virgin points for that, but definitely an option to consider, especially since we're not sure what the, you know, how much the variable pricing will change on United over the next handful of months. I tend to think it'll get worse over time. I tend to think they probably didn't roll out all the bad stuff in one fell swoop to create sticker shock. I tend to think we'll see more variability as time goes on there.
Yeah, and I would also add, since, you know, if you have to use United miles, if you can, you can include a free one-way within Japan, the excursionist perk.
Right.
So if she's interested in like hopping over to Kyoto or something, like booking in that free one-way within Japan on ANA is certainly an option. You won't be able to book business class, but it's a real short flight. So getting a free economy flight down to Kyoto is not a terrible idea. So that's just, you know, get the most out of it, even if you have to use more miles than you would like to.
Yeah, and then she also mentioned that she had Marriott points, and you and I were doodling around on the math there to get enough Marriott points to transfer over to ANA for an ANA medal award. We figured she needed, what, like 200,000 Marriott Bonvoy points per ticket to book on round trip?
Something like that. And that's just for, and that's if it's during low season for ANA. ANA,
right.
For those who don't know, ANA has two separate charts, one for awards that include partner flights, one, and then the other for bookings that only include flights on ANA. And that chart itself has three different seasons, low, regular, and high. So the example that Jeanette had sent to us was during low season, so it's 75,000 ANA miles, which is great. But if you're only transferring Marriott and you know, you start getting into regular and high seas, and you're going to start needing a lot more Marriott points to make that happen, since the transfer ratio is 3 Marriott points to 1 ANA mile.
For sure. And you also keep in mind that if you transfer them in 60,000 point increments, similar to the old Starwood preferred guest program, you will get a 5,000 mile bonus, but still you're going to need a lot of Marriott points to go that route. And, you know, one of the other things that Jeanette noted, which, you know, Spencer actually had to educate me on because I hadn't seen before, as he said, the 75,000 point, 75,000 mile award on ANA is for ANA medal. There's also a Star Alliance award for 90,000 miles, and that's if any of the routing that you have booked occurs on a Star Alliance partner other than ANA, which would still be better than, still could potentially be better than the United options, depending on where the variable pricing is, but obviously will cost more than just going straight ANA.
Yep. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's, this is all part of the game, though. It's kind of what's fun. It's the hunt. But it's all about kind of knowing to look in different places. And I think for this one, for her, it's Virgin is going to be her best bet.
Well, and she does say this is a bucket list item that she wants to figure out how to do it. So I have a feeling that she's going to, as you say, put in a little bit of work to make this happen. But hopefully it's a very rewarding trip when she gets it all figured out.
Yeah, for sure. And just a quick note on, like, just for her, when it comes to booking this, Virgin Atlantic doesn't allow you to search for ANA award space on its own site. But the process is real quick. It's just you search on United's site. When you find the award space for the date you need, you just call Virgin Atlantic. They're the best phone reps I've ever dealt with. You ask them to put the ticket on hold. They'll do that. They'll give you 48 hours to transfer points in. So just do that as soon as you get off the phone. And then once the points are in your account, it should be very quick. You just call them back, pay the ticket, taxes, and fees, and you'll be good to go.
Well, there you have it, Jeanette. I hope that those are good answers for you. And Spencer, thanks a ton for hopping on and helping me break that down into manageable pieces to help Jeanette plan their next bucket list trip.
Great to be here.
When you're not hopping on the podcast with me or gallivanting all over the world, tell folks where they can find you.
Yeah, I've been becoming more active on Instagram. I've heard people like to post pictures there. So you can find me. Yeah, it's my handle's straight to the points. Otherwise, you can also find me on Twitter at Spencer for Miles. And then you'll see my writing on God Save the Points and my Straight to the Points newsletter. So I'm just kind of all over, I guess.
He is all over. And don't forget, on top of God Save the Points, to check out his award alerts, which you can find at the top of his Straight to the Points website, which we will link to in the show notes. Spencer, thanks again. Safe travels.
Thanks, Ed. See you soon.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, you know, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about, right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with Jen from Deals We Like. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we're talking a little bit about IHG today, which is a program I don't spend a ton of time talking about because, you know, maybe it's my own bias, but I don't see a lot of value as a business traveler in being a loyalty member. But you you keep reminding me of the value of IHG and their credit card, And they've got an offer that's actually expiring today that we want to touch on briefly, but about the value of holding their credit card for benefits. So I guess first things first, let's talk about the offer that expires today in case people are looking to get this card.
Sure. Yeah. So in case you're listening today, the day the podcast launch, there's actually an offer where you'll earn 120,000 bonus points. Good chance the offer will go down to 80,000 points tomorrow. I'm not sure for certain, but that's the norm. So that would be my best guess. So if you are able to apply today and you're interested in the card based on, you know, what you've read or what you hear today, the offer is actually 120,000 bonus points. And while that sounds like a lot, it is definitely for IHG. All points are not created equal. So 120,000 IHG points are, you know, not the same thing as 120,000 Chase Ultimate Reward points, for example. So just keep that in mind. But it is definitely a good offer. And it's, you know, more so than just the offer. It's one of those cards that I just keep year after year. So I feel like there's like two sets of kind of credit cards. The credit cards you get solely for the sign-up offer. And then you may or may not keep them the year after because you're noticing that the value it brings to you just doesn't really pay for the annual fee. And then there's the cards where you keep year after year because the benefits solely... So the benefits you're getting really are extremely valuable for such a low annual fee credit card, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, from my standpoint, it's you know, you bring up the point in your post about how if you do have the older card that that you can get the 10% rebate when you redeem points stacked along with all the benefits of the newer card, which is the Premier, the IHG Rewards Club Premier credit card.
Right. So about a year ago, IHG launched a new Premier credit card and they got rid of their old one and it didn't automatically upgrade prior card members to this new card. It just was a new card and then they got rid of the old card for new applicants, but you could still keep that old card, the select card, I believe it was off the top of my head. And you're eligible to actually get the new Premier credit card, even if you had that old credit card. So some credit card families, if you will, they don't let you get the new credit card that's launched if you already have the old one. You have to either upgrade it or close the old one. For example, like Hyatt, they're not going to let you have two Hyatt credit cards. IHG, for right now at least, you can have both of the credit cards. And the really good thing is that you can get the perks on both credit cards at the same time. So as Ed was kind of mentioning with the old version of the card, one of the benefits is that you get 10% of your points back. Up to, I think it's 100,000 points per calendar year. So let's say you go ahead and redeem 100,000 points on a free night stay. You'll get 10,000 points back into your account after you complete your stay. So that's pretty good. With the new credit card, the benefits are slightly different. Instead of that 10% rebate, you'll actually get your fourth night free, which means you can actually stack the two benefits. So let's say you have you're staying at a hotel that costs 40,000 points a night. That means you only need 120,000 points, which you can actually get from the credit card offer, and you'll still get four nights. Then after you complete your stay, you'll get that 10% rebate back, which kind of brings your daily point rate down to 27,000 points a night versus the 40,000, which is really, really good. IHG is one of those programs where there's still a few hidden gems. And like, for example, you know, I use this particular hotel a lot, but in Aruba, there is the Holiday Inn property. It's not the fanciest property. It's not, you know, the most lavish, but it is right on Palm Beach, the same beach that every other chain hotel is on. Right next door is the Hyatt, a few hotels down to one side is the Hilton. And then if you go the other way, you get the Marriott and the Ritz. So you have the exact same beach, the exact same, you know, opportunities for things to do. And the hotel is actually like decently nice for an IHG, and to go there to spend 27,000 points a night is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, that for folks who want to patronize the IHG program, I think having the Premier credit card is almost a must because you know, that you know, four nights or in the fifth night free, if you will, really does help bring it on par with some of the other programs, you know, like Marriott. And I think it's a great way for families to really stretch out their points, especially since most of the time, you know, family vacations are, you know, at least 4 or 5 nights, as opposed to the, you know, the quick weekend jaunts for most normal families.
Right. And one problem I sometimes have with the Hilton and the Marriott program, where you get the fifth night free, sometimes my stays are only 4 nights. So there's been times I literally have stayed 4 nights and I wasted that fifth night free because I just, it couldn't happen. We weren't staying more than 4 nights and it just, it was what it was. But with IHG, the fact that you get your fourth night free is a slightly, is a better value because there's more times than not that I would say 4 nights versus 5 nights. So that's one nice leg up that you have on that program versus Marriott and Hilton. And then the other thing with the IHG credit card, that both this one and the old one, is that you get a free night annually. So that's common throughout many of the credit cards. And so that's just one way that you automatically are going to pay for your annual fee, if not significantly more. Unfortunately, they now cap it at a 40,000 point hotel. It used to be unlimited, so you could stay at like the nicest hotel in Rome or Paris with that free night stay. And the old credit card was only $49 a night. So that old credit card was 100% a must have in your wallet. This one's still very good. It'll still pay for your annual fee. And then you just get all these additional benefits year after year. It's also one of the only credit cards that, and I believe it's the United credit card, that have low annual fees where you get your global entry reimbursed to you. A lot of times the global entry reimbursement are for those premier credit cards that have, you know, $450 annual fee. This one also allows you to get global entry reimbursed. So that's a nice other perk that will just pay for itself in just that first year.
For sure. And while I don't hold an IHG Rewards Club credit card in my wallet now, Jen's given us a bunch of good reasons why you want to.
And did I convince you to get one?
Probably not quite yet. We'll see. We'll have to see. I don't think I'm going to apply before today's offer expires, but you certainly got my interest piqued in something that wasn't on my radar before.
I mean, there's times I've even used it, might not have the best value, but I've even used it, you know, if I needed to stay at a hotel the night before flying out where hotel rates were actually like pretty high.
Yeah.
So even on those just random one night stays that just come up unexpected that you don't really want to pay for, it works. So.
For sure. Well, Jen, thanks for stopping by and talking to us about IHG. When you're not on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Thanks for having me, Ed. You can find me at my blog, Deals We Like, and then via any social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything at Deals We Like.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jen. Safe travels.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And my family and I had a little bit of a crazy idea for spring break. We were trying to figure out a way to raise some money for charity and remember a friend of mine that passed away recently, Pam, who died of cancer just a few weeks ago. Pam, I think, would have liked the idea that we came up with. It was a little bit wild and crazy, but the kids decided they wanted to ride all the rides at the Magic Kingdom. So a sort of mini Parkeology challenge to the one that I did with Summer from TBG Family last year. And our goal was to raise some money for cancer, a great organization called Pelotonia that does life-saving cancer research. And we did, I think we did a pretty good job. We're still wrapping things up, so I don't have a final number, but this is sort of my last ask for folks. If you've been hit by cancer, if you've been affected by it, family or friends, like we have in our family, I hope that you'll think about taking a moment to contribute or spread the word about what we're doing. You can find information on my website, pizzainmotion.com, and you can find our donation page where you can make a donation to get a tax receipt at pelotonia.org/pizzainmotion. And I'll spell that, but it'll also be up on the show notes. PELOTONIA.org. It's a great organization that funds life-saving cancer research out of Columbus, Ohio, and we're hoping to be able to help them with some funds to dedicate to future research in Pam's honor. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. I really enjoyed catching up with both Spencer and Jen. Helping answer listener questions is a ton of fun for me, and I think Jen brings a great perspective on the IHG program, a program that I'm not an expert on, but I think that can really help everyday travelers who don't travel for a living like I do. Big thanks to Spencer and Jen for helping make a great episode this week. As always, a big thanks to Mike, our producer, for helping put this podcast episode out there. We're already putting together a great episode for next week. That's a full wrap. Until next week, we've got miles to go.